A previously recorded Matt Slick Show.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, how you doing out there? It's me, Matt Slick. Listen to Matt Slick Live. I hope you want to give me a call. We have five open lines, wide open. All you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. So we are live, and let me just make sure about this and that. Always have a couple of things to do right after the beginning of the show. You can watch us on Facebook if you want. Participate in the chat room. Sometimes I'll tackle some of the questions that are in the chat room from the people, and we do occasionally get some obstreperous individuals, and such is the case with a woman this week who has taken it upon herself to contact me, and she wants the last word about everything, cusses me out, calls me all kinds of names, and the like. So, you know, hey, that's life, that's what happens, we get some good people. And we get some not-so-good people for the show. But if you want to call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. You can watch if you want by going to Facebook and just type in carm.org, C-A-R-M, dot O-R-G. And that's for the Facebook thing. It's not a big deal. But if you want to watch, a lot of people do. And we get a feed through a thing called StreamYard, and they're not paying me for this advertisement, but it's a good advertisement. StreamYard.com is a great little feature that lets you feed a single feed to Facebook, to YouTube, different accounts, things like that. And so what I can do is I can see all the feeds come in and the summation count. We've had over 1,000 people watching at a time, and so that's been really good. I'm hoping that some of the people who do this will do watch parties. That'll be great. All right, let's see. All these things going on. Let's see. People talking to me already. But hey, there you go. Four open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Laura from North Carolina. Laura, welcome.
And I was wondering, also, if God, you know, I know God has a plan with us, but
You want to know when we make mistakes, does God come through for us? The answer is, of course, yes, because we all make mistakes all the time. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so God's not surprised by our mistakes, unless you're an open theist heretic, but he knows what he's doing, and even our mistakes mm-hmm. are within the ultimate plan of God in his permissive will, where he permits us to mess up, let's just say. And we do. Okay?
Okay. Well, one thing I wanted to also ask you, too, is about 3 weeks ago, I got a letter in the mail from my apartment complex saying that I was going to have to vacate the premises within 30 days.
Yeah.
Because they said that I was not keeping my apartment clean like I should. And
I mean, inside?
Got it cleaned and everything. Huh. Yes.
Okay.
Inside the apartment. And I was, I went to talk to them about it, and they said that, you know, asked me about some things, and, you know, that I had, if I had done this, and if I'd kept this clean, and I said, no, but if you give me a chance to go back home, I'll fix it. Well, I did that. The lady showed up while I was cleaning, and she still was not satisfied, you know, because I, you know, cleaned some stuff off the counters and everything. But she said, and she was, there's some other stuff she pointed out was wrong. And so I said, well, if you'll give me stuff till the end of this month, I mean, till the end of this weekend, I can get that stuff out. She said that it was up to the apartment manager. Well, I did that. I never heard back from her. So when he got it cleaned, well, everything the best we could, well, and I contacted the apartment manager, and she said that no.
But Laura, do you have a question about that? I'm not sure what to tell
you. Well, no, I have a question. I guess let me just, you know, cut it short. If I'm living somewhere and I made the mistake of not keeping the apartment clean like I should have, and I was kicked out of my apartment, does God, will God still take care of me and help me find another place to move to?
Yeah, all you got to do is pray and ask God to provide what you need and trust Him through the situation. That's what you have to do, and you know, abide by the covenant that you would agree to whenever you sign up, you know, and agree to work or rent another apartment. So I don't know.
Well,
what
the thing about it is, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I say I don't know the rules out there. I don't know about that stuff, about apartment cleanliness. They come in and do that. It sounds a little strange to me, but anyway, so I don't know.
Well, let me ask you one other thing too. If God knows, because I know God knew that this was going to happen way before I did. So would you say that God's already got a solution worked out for me?
Well, the solution is always there, but sometimes what we consider a solution isn't necessarily what God considers a solution. Sometimes God allows us to reap the consequences of our actions, and that's a solution for God. Even though we're asking for one thing, He delivers another. So the difficulty with being a Christian sometimes is knowing which is the case and what is God trying to teach us through it. And so it's difficult to say in every circumstance, but what we do is we trust God no matter what, and we move forward to the best of our ability and trust that He will provide. And He has a way of working things out.
And so He does have a way of working that out, even though I was kicked out of my apartment because they said I wanted to keep it clean, correct?
If that's the situation, then obviously, yeah. Maybe God.
Okay.
I don't know what the rules are, but I don't. I mean, you know, I've seen hoarding stuff where people are threatened to be evicted, but it takes a while. You might want to look into an organization or look into what your rights are. They may just say you can get kicked out, but they may not be able to do that for a while. You know, I don't know. You know, I don't know what the situation is. But it's always good to make phone calls to find things out. Contact the county, contact the state.
I can't hear you real good. I'm sorry.
Try and contact the county and you know, officials and ask them what the rules are and see what your rights are. So, but, you know, I don't know.
Okay.
You're in North Carolina. I'm over here in Idaho and don't know what it is out there. Okay. Okay. Sounds
good. I've just been really stressing this out, you know, wondering if, you know, God's, you know, still going to, you know, help. So in the Bible where it says, my God shall supply all of my needs, would you say that that also includes the need, would actually be considered a roof over our heads?
Yeah, for the most part, yes. But remember, even Jesus didn't have a place to lay his head down. So, I'm not going to say to you that God's going to provide this for you. I'm not going to say He's not. I'm going to say you trust Him through the situation. And when it gets difficult, you continue to trust Him. And you work to the best of your ability to do what needs to be done.
Okay.
But I would suggest you contact the county officials. And you need someone on your side, an advocate. It just sounds a little bit fishy that they are going to kick you out because your apartment wasn't clean, something on the counter. That doesn't sound right.
Mm-hmm.
I check into it, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, that's all the questions I had. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Laura. Well, God bless. All right.
Thank you. All right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye. All right. Don't think I've ever had a call like that before in 15 years of radio. So that's okay. Every now and then something new comes up. If you want to give me a call, folks, we have five open lines, 877-207-2276. And, you know, the situations we face in life, a lot of times are our own fault, and sometimes they're not. And how do we work through those? Well, what we do is trust God as best we can, because we want to make sure that we're glorifying Him. And we want to ask him, what do you want me to do in this situation? Not to say that things won't get difficult sometimes, because they can. We just have to trust God to the best of our ability to see what he might have in store for us. All right. Hey, folks, look, why don't you give me a call? Four open lines, 877-207-2276. Let me just say that if you are interested, you can go to smile.amazon.com. And when you order stuff, if you go to smile.amazon.com, you can set Karma up as a charity. And, you know, every little bit adds up. And people have done that. And it helps support us a little bit, helps keep the lights on. If that sounds like something you want to do, please check it out. Also, you can go to the Karm website and look up the three schools. School of Theology, one on apologetics, and one on critical thinking. And I'll tell you, you can learn a lot of stuff there. You can learn an awful lot. So I hope you want to check them out. Go to karm.org, C-A-R-M.org, for open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Oliver from Maine. Oliver, welcome. You are on the air.
Hey there. How's it going, Matt?
It's going, man. It's going. What do you got?
Right. So my question is on Isaiah chapter 40, verse 5.
Okay.
3 and 4 are also included, because in 3 it talks about clearly prophesying John the Baptist.
Right.
A voice cries out in the wilderness, pray the way for the Lord. And then in verse 5, it talks about the splendor of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it at the same time, for the Lord has decreed it. And this is at least, this is in an NET version. It's different in other versions, but I'm wondering, because it seems like this should be referring to Jesus, like in the crucifixion, due to what verse 3 says beforehand. But I don't believe all people saw the crucifixion at the same time. I'm just wondering if maybe it's a okay. weird thing with the NET Bible, because the ESV just doesn't say it like that, or the NASB.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Anything, so.
I wouldn't. If you can do serious study, use the ESV or the NASB.
Okay.
But the thing about prophetic quotes, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, what will happen is God, the Spirit, will put it upon the heart of a writer to take one little segment out of a book and say, this is applied to whatever it might be. And this is the case with Isaiah 40, verse 3. It doesn't mean that every part around it also deals with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Just like Psalm 69 is similar, because in Psalm 69, it's a messianic psalm. And in there talks about the mother's, you know, look at my mother's sons. I've become estranged from my brothers and an alien to my mother's sons. Well, this is something, this quote is, and this Psalm 69, is just as an example, is about the Messiah in a lot of areas, but not everything in it is. And so different parts of it will be quoted. And that's just the way the method is, and a lot of times in Old Testament, quoting in the New Testament under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So what I would do is just go with what the New Testament quote is and limit it to Isaiah 40, verse 3, and not worry about the rest of it. Okay?
Okay. Okay, thank you.
All right, man. God bless. All right, that was Oliver from Maine. We have four open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. Why don't you give me a call? We'll be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome back, everyone. We have three open lines. I'll make that two open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. Let's get to Jan from Virginia. Jan, welcome. You are on the air. Jan, I hit the right button. Jan, are you there? Jan. We had to put her on hold, and we'll try and come back to her right after we get to the next caller. Let's see, that would be Matt from Fort Worth, Texas. Matt, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I was just wondering, what is your interpretation on 2 Timothy 2:13? A church I was in last year, they have Zoom Bible study, and they were going through the common interpretation is that that when we as Christians are not faithful, God remains faithful to us, but that's actually not what was being communicated there. They're not saying that God isn't faithful towards his people. They're just saying in that context of 2 Timothy 2:13, it's commonly misinterpreted. Not sure if you're aware of that.
Well, what was this? What were they saying about it?
They were saying that when it says that if we are faithless, that's referring to an apostate, basically a faithless person, like being an unregenerate, unjustified person, and that God being faithful is speaking about faithful towards his promise of condemnation towards those who reject him. Now, I know there's warnings in that context about, like, if we deny him, he'll deny us. That's pretty clear. But then when Paul goes on to say, if we are faithless, I saw that, I interpreted that as like a note of encouragement. If we're faithless, in the sense of like we're struggling, God remains faithful to us.
Let's look at the context. Because it says, it is a trustworthy statement, for if we died with him, we will also live with him. Now, the issue of we died with him, I hope that the teacher focused on that. It's a very important theological point, because in Romans 6:6, it says we died with Christ. And Colossians 3:1-5 talks about we have died. And so we have died with Christ. He represented us on the cross. So that's what it means. If we've died with him, we'll also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful if we not deny himself. So if we endure, we'll also reign with him. Now, remember, this. A lot of people don't get this, is that, you know, Paul, he's writing to Timothy, and he's giving him instruction on what to do and how to speak to the people in the church that given charge over. And so, you know, there are going to be unbelievers under his care, so to speak. People are going to be coming in, and they're going to be maybe some posing as Christians, maybe some just inquiring, maybe some Jews in the area who may have considered what Christ had to say and looking at things. And, you know, there's a lot of variables in here. And this is one of the things that a lot of people forget when they look at these kinds of verses. Because Judaism was well known, at least in the Mediterranean area, but particularly on the east part of it. And so when he's talking to Timothy, you know, a brother in Christ, and, you know, he's telling him to raise up elders and stuff like this. So he's in charge of church and people. Undoubtedly, they're going to be believers in God and non-believers in the true and living God, and variables within those things. And so he says, this is why I believe that when we see these things, he's saying if we died with him, we'll also live with him. Well, if we died with him, we'll live with him. It's a true statement. If we did, because that's what happened, then we'll live with him. That's a fact. If we endure, we'll also reign with him. It's true. And if we endure, well, why are we going to endure? Well, we're going to endure ultimately because of God's work in us. I mean, that just makes sense. It's not about us. If we deny him, we'll also deny us. Now, how can, you know, Paul, he says, if we deny Christ, because he's including himself, if we deny him, he'll deny us. Well, is it possible for Paul the Apostle to actually deny Jesus? I don't believe so. He had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's performing miracles. I just don't see it as in the remotest way even a possibility. I think he's just speaking. You know, if we deny him, if this happens, if anyone who denies us, that's why he says we, you know, he's just being inclusive, and he'll deny us if we're faithless. However, he will be faithful. God can't deny himself. He cannot deny his own word. He cannot deny what he has said. Covenantally, which is really important, because in the covenantal aspect, theologically, the Jews, a lot of people just forget that whole aspect of theology when they're talking about this stuff, but God will always be faithful to us. He can never leave us and forsake us, Hebrews 10:5 says. So, you know, this is a bit of an ambivalent area, and it can be interpreted different ways. So I'm not exactly sure what your teacher said, but that's the general gist of what I understand this to be.
Yeah, okay. They weren't teaching heresy or anything. It's just like, obviously it's true. God is faithful towards his people, mm-hmm. that he's justified. They weren't trying to argue against that. But they were just, the whole Bible study was centered around the idea of being like the Bereans. Like, we actually look at a specific context and try to exegete properly instead of importing our own preconceived ideas into a text. But that's one of the, I guess, passages of Scripture that's most commonly, according to some anyway, misinterpreted. But it's actually, right. They say it's basically referring to God is going to be faithful in the sense of staying true to his character as far as his condemnation towards those who are faithless.
Right.
I just want to hear your thoughts.
There are conditionals, not absolutes, in some of these things. Some of the ways you talk it, like in verse 10, for this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen. You know, that's election right there. So that right. they also may obtain salvation. Well, wait a minute. They will obtain salvation because they're chosen by God from the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1, 4, and 5. And so when he's talking like this, he's talking in a very loose sense that they may obtain it. Of course they're going to obtain it. They can't not obtain it because they're chosen of God for that purpose. You know,
right.
which is in Christ Jesus. We died with him. There's a lot of theology in here. And I could preach a whole couple sermons on it probably myself. But I think what needs to be done when people address this and preach from it and teach from it is say, There's some of this is difficult to interpret. Here's some possibilities, but let's look at 10 and 11 and 12 and see what really is happening and see how the sandwich in between those statements can be understood generically. And I think that's the way to do it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, Matt.
You're welcome. Well, God bless.
God bless.
All right. Okay, let's get to Tony from California. We lost Tony. Let's try Jan again from Virginia. We lost Jan. Boy, they're dropping like flies. Oh, yeah, three open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. Let's see if I can pronounce his name right. Helga? I think that's what it is because I'm looking eye there. Hey, there's the break. So if you want to hold on, Helga, we'll be right back after these messages. Give me a call, folks. Three open lines. 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back to the show, everyone. Let's get on the line with Helga. Sorry about that, the break hit us there. Helga, how are you?
It's fine. Hey, I have a quick question. I don't know how to formulate this question.
All right.
I do have a speaking testament, but I will do my best. My
sure.
daughter is getting married in a few weeks, and her fiancé is Catholic, but she isn't. So
that's not good.
Okay, I told her that she should ask me about dispensation because she wants to get married in the garden, and he said he can only do it indoors because he's a Franciscan priest. But I thought that due to COVID. And
he's a Franciscan priest she's marrying?
No. A priest that's marrying her.
Okay. Okay, so what's the question then?
The question is, first of all, I don't think she should marry into that religion. Is she going to?
Is she a Christian?
Because
a real Christian?
She's born again Christian. And her fiancé is Catholic.
Yeah, she should not marry a Catholic. That's like marrying an unbeliever.
Because I know that it's apostate. Yeah, right, right. Yeah. So I don't know what to tell her.
She needs to go to the website CARM and look up the cut and paste section. Cut and paste. Just go to carm.org/CUT. Cut. It's designed for cutting and pasting into chat rooms and things like that. And it's very useful. It's very succinct. And you can go to the Roman Catholicism section. And this is not going to be great because you're going to ruin her wedding. It's what you're basically saying is she shouldn't marry this guy because she shouldn't marry this guy. I would never perform the ceremony because it's a believer with an unbeliever. Because Roman Catholics are not true believers, it's apostate. And furthermore, the Roman Catholic Church will then pressure him to have the everything go Roman Catholic. And it's just going to get bad.
That's what you're trying to do, yeah.
It's going to get bad. You need to tell her it's going to get worse. Have her call me up. And I can very politely and very gently say, this is what you'll be in for. And, you know, this is what... You have to email me first and let me know you want to call at a certain time, and I'll pick up the phone because I get inundated with stuff. But
what is the email? Is it on the website?
Yeah, carm.org, and it's just info@carm.org. And I think we want to talk to her. You know, if she wants to talk, we can go through stuff. Have her point. I can point her to the website and say, "Here, read this stuff." I would never perform a wedding where a Protestant, a born-again Christian is marrying a Roman Catholic any more than I would do Protestant with a Mormon or Jehovah's Witness. I'd say, nope, not doing
right,
it.
Right, right.
Yeah, Roman Catholicism is not a Christian religion. It's apostate. It teaches idolatry and works righteousness. It's a false religion. And so he probably has great abs and looks cute, and she wants to marry him, you know. That's how, you know. Is with the that's why my wife.
I don't
married
know what the
me.
Situation is with that.
Well, that's what happened with my wife. Yeah, I used to have abs when I was younger, and now I just have one big ab. So that's how it is. She liked me then. I don't know what it was. Now she just tolerates me. That's it.
Oh, she loves you. She loves you. I hear the stories that you tell.
I don't know. I don't know if she does. You know, because she'll fling she'll frisbee dinner at me sometime. But here you go. You know, just basic stuff. You know,
I'm sure it's all in fun. But God bless you all, and I will definitely have my daughter go to info@carm.org and
sounds
have
good.
Her to when she emails you and then give you a call, and you can explain it to you better than I can.
I would love to. And I'll be gentle. You know, I'll just say say the truth. This is what it is. And I have talked to people about this, and I've more than once recommended that people not get married to a Roman Catholic because it's just going to cause
problems.
The thing
is, they're living together now.
They're living together?
Double win.
They're living together.
Yes.
Okay. Here's the thing. I'm going to say this, okay? I've talked to couples. They want me to perform their wedding, and they're living together, or they're fooling around together. And I first addressed the man. Just as when Adam and Eve sinned, the first one addressed was the man. And I go to the man, and I say, do you love this woman? Yes. Do you want to guard her? Yes. Then why are you stealing from her what belongs in the marriage bed? Why would you be living with this woman and doing these things outside of marriage, and yet you want to protect her and guard her? And I turn to the woman and I say, you want to trust this man who doesn't hold you in high enough esteem so that he would guard your chastity and reputation? What makes you think in marriage he'll be faithful to you if he's not being faithful to God before marriage? Why? I hit him hard, and I tell him, I say, you repent right now, you separate right now, no more fooling around, no more this, no more that, or I don't do the wedding. And if you mess up once, then we'll postpone it 6 months, so you have to go through counseling. That's how I tackle it. I take it very seriously.
Well, I agree. But then there's also the Catholicism issue.
Yeah, it's apostate. You can't see, she's not living like a believer. And why is she living with a guy then wants to marry an unbeliever? She's behaving like an unbeliever. And that's a fact.
I agree.
She's serving her own flesh rather than God. And this is being done, incidentally, by far too many who claim the name of Christ. And God's judgment is on them. They should read Romans 1. Starting at verse 18, and read the rest of the chapter, because what God's judgment is he gives them over to the depravity of their hearts and their minds. So they believe lies, they practice lies. And this judgment happens upon all who practice ungodliness. And the Christians are called to a high standard of morality and faithfulness to God.
Exactly.
Marriage is a very serious thing. And so if she's living with this guy, she shouldn't call herself a Christian. Period. She's living in open rebellion against God.
I really, really want her to talk to you, because you know how it is with children. They don't listen to their parents. Listen to other people.
I know that one.
So
it's
Romans 1:18.
Romans 1:18 and following. Everybody listening to this, you should be reading Romans 1:18. If you're living with your girlfriend, living with your boyfriend, you're fooling around doing all that stuff, I'm going to just tell you now, you stop it. You honor God, and you before you do, honor God. And if you're living with somebody, what makes you think that you can trust that person inside of marriage if they're not going to honor you outside of it? They claim the name of Christ, and then they're living in sin? That is filthy. It's disgusting. It is sinful, and it needs to be repented of. Because the body of Christ is to be holy before God. We're redeemed by the blood of God in flesh, not so that we could be casual and go sin in direct defiance of the Almighty. Man, nothing but the patience and the grace of God lets people like that continue to live, because it's a great sin to claim the name of Christ and in hypocrisy live in sin. That is something.
I guess they figured that they would be correcting that issue, but I don't know.
Oh, they're
going to
correct it so they know it's... If that's the case, they're going to be corrected and they know it's
married,
wrong.
But, yeah, but see, the thing is, they're unequally yoked.
That's true. They should not get married. They're not ready to get married. They're living in sin. That means they're not walking right before God. He's a Roman Catholic, and get rid of that. She shouldn't be marrying him in the first place. She should move out, and she should just throw rocks at him with love. All right?
Well, all right. Love. I was about to say, I don't know about the rock.
Well, you know, just kind of getting carried away a little bit. You know, throw rocks,
know,
get away from me. A good woman would not have anything to do with a man like that.
It's a serious situation.
Yes, it is.
I just want her to be clear on it. Because, like I said, children don't listen to their own parents.
I know. I've got daughters, and one of them, you know, she won't ask me any Bible questions, any theology questions, and she's got them. She goes to others, and I'm like, okay, I know exactly how it is, and God's providing. So that's just what it is. It's all right.
Yes, I will get on that right away. Prayerfully, she'll do the right thing, and I will give her your contact information.
Sure, sounds good. Okay.
Hey, thank you so much, Matt. I appreciate you, and take care of yourself and your wife, and be safe.
Okay. Thanks a lot. God bless.
Okay. God bless.
Bye-bye. All right. Okay, let's go to the phone with Glenda from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Glenda, you're on the air.
Hi, Matt. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Matt?
Okay, yes,
good. Just want to make sure, because some of your callers, they sound really muted. I just wanted to make sure I was clear.
You're very clear. Oh, yes.
Okay, good. mm-hmm. My question is concerning Joel 2, where it talks about that, I guess it's talking about the end of days, where it says that your young men and women will have visions, your old men will dream dreams.
And we got a break. Can you hold on? Because we're going to talk about this.
Sure, yes. Okay.
All right. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages with Glenda from North Carolina. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Glenda, are you still there?
I am.
Okay. So what you got?
Okay. So it seems like with everything that's going on, it seems like there are a lot of people who are saying that they're having these prophetic dreams here recently.
Yeah.
Namely, I don't know if you're familiar with Dana Coverstone, but I think
yes.
his dreams are kind of going viral.
Mm-hmm.
And the most recent one that I listened to today had me really, really upset. He painted a picture of Lady Liberty being dragged out to sea fighting for her life. And that, mm-hmm. you know, basically that this country's going down. And it upset me so much. But I don't know how much validity I should put into those dreams. I do believe in prophetic dreams. God has given me prophetic dreams before. He gave me a dream like a week before I was laid off from my job. He gave me a dream that I was going to lose my job, and he even told me in the dream how many people were going to be laid off, and that's exactly how many people were laid off. And so I believe that that was a dream from God, and I do believe that he does give dreams, but I don't know how much credit. Dana Coverstone seems like a very genuine person. He seems credible. He mm-hmm. seems humble. And I just don't know what to make of all of this. And I thought maybe you could shed some light on it.
Well, I've seen his videos as well. And there are others out there. I'd like people to send me some links to them on anybody else. Now, the Bible does say that people will have visions and dreams. Now, there's a certain camp of Christianity that says that all the charismatic gifts have ceased. And I don't hold to that. I hold that they continue. I don't have any problem with people having visions and dreams. They don't violate Scripture. And I've seen this guy, too, and the same thing I conclude that you have is he seems sincere, he seems real and legitimate. You know, I haven't talked to him. I'd love to be able to talk to him and just ask him some more questions and interview him in private so I can make sure he's within orthodoxy. I'm sure he is, but nevertheless.
Well, he's a pastor.
Yes.
I mean, he's a pastor of a mm-hmm. church in Kentucky.
Yep. Uh-huh. And it doesn't mean that he's automatically right. It doesn't mean he's wrong. I'm not judging him. I'm just saying, you know, we just got to be careful,
right.
You know. But, how do I say this? So, I believe that God's given me the ability to kind of see what's going to happen in certain things. I can see what happens theologically if certain things are believed, if certain things are not done. And I'm not saying it's a charismatic gift, but having done apologetics for 40 years and dealt with so many people and thousands and thousands and thousands of issues and thousands of hours, my conclusion is, and this is not a prophecy, but my conclusion is the United States is in some pretty serious trouble. The left, here's why I say this. The left is in control of the education and education and the media. And so they remind me of the Gestapo. And I'm dead serious. They remind me of the Gestapo brainwashing tactics.
Yeah, I believe
tactics.
You. I agree.
Yep. Yeah, and when it's like that, the only solution is either revolution or a revival, and or a country's going to fail. In history, no country gradually gets better; it always gradually gets worse. And the only way it gets better is through, unfortunately, bloodshed. And I don't advocate that, but that's just history. The United States, when it has turned its back on God, is reaping the whirlwind because of it. And God is removing the blessing from America, for one, because of the abortion holocaust, and the sexual perversion that's being promoted on TV, media, truth relativism, the attack on the Lord, the use of his name in vain all over the place. And the Christian church is weak, is anemic, and is me-centered instead of other-centered. Yes. So these are signs of the decay of our country. It doesn't mean it's going to happen, But I will say this, my wife and I are getting ready. And we're taking it very seriously. We're preparing for what may come. And we're not going crazy, but we're just getting things ready that if things have to go bad, that, you know, we're going to, you know, we want to be able to at least have a few options here and there. Now, you live...
When you say getting ready, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Food, water, ammunition.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And...
We're doing the same thing, and it's mm-hmm. It feels so scary. I've never, mm-hmm. you know, none of us have ever been through anything like this before, where I've ever felt like I had to fight for my physical life.
Yeah.
And so it just feels so scary, and to hear these prophetic dreams that mm-hmm. that feel like a Twilight Zone movie. I don't know what to make of it, but I still think that there's some credibility there.
He's not the only one who's having similar dreams. Now, it could be that people are extrapolating, but so the thing is that as Jesus, you know, spoke about being able to see the signs of the time, a storm is coming. And see, the thing is, this is why I call them the leftist moron wackos. I'd like to say things more profound if I could, but the leftists are Marxist brainwashed people. BLM, Black Lives Matter, is really a Marxist anti-family organization. Antifa is terrorist organization. And the Democrats are the ones who were for KKK. They were the ones who were against black-white integration. The Democratic Party has been the party of racism and oppression and overtaxation. It's full of lies and deception, and they want to be in control. And if Biden somehow gets in, then they'll just declare him incompetent after a while, and they'll have Kamala Harris in, and she's just a plague, a walking plague. She's horrible.
Oh, she is.
And here's something else
to
think about.
And I'll tell you,
When the unrighteous are allowed to be violent, when the unrighteous are rewarded for their violence and their rebellion, and when the righteous do nothing, and there are no righteous to stand up, then what happens is they become further emboldened to do more evil. And what will happen if this continues, this is not prophecy, this is just what will happen is there's going to be shooting in the streets because the patriots are going to get tired of it. And then what will happen is the media will start blaming the patriots for what they themselves have helped foment. This is what I see.
I know.
And this is why we're preparing. And I recommend everybody do the same thing. I just bought 10 flashlights today. $1 each. You can go to Walmart in the sporting goods section. These are little bitty flashlights. They're AAA batteries. And, you know, just whatever. Yeah. Just little things like that. I don't want to sound, not trying to sound, you know, scary. And I'm not trying to, you know, make anybody panic. But the Bible says in Proverbs that the ants store their food for winter. Preparation is biblical, and we should have that anyway, you know? And we do.
I'm glad to hear you say that because I've been kind of torn. I'm glad to hear you say that because I've been kind of torn about this whole prepping thing. My husband and I, I have a 16-year-old son. He'll be 17 in November, and we have been prepping for a couple of months now and just buying a lot of stuff, you know, food, water, you know, batteries, stocking up on batteries, that kind of stuff. And I was just kind of torn if prepping was really, you know, if it was a sin, you know, not relying on God's provision.
No, we're supposed to be wise.
Or that is God's provision, maybe.
No, we're supposed to be wise.
Yeah.
And the Bible talks about seven sources of income. It doesn't say just trust God and don't have any food in the refrigerator. Just trust God to manifest and birds will bring manna. No, we're to be wise and in it prepare. And I'm going to say this too. Now this one I feel, and I don't know if I'm feeling it from the Lord, but I have this sense, and I've been thinking about it, that through all the tribulation and problems, if it gets bad, and I'm not saying it's going to, hopefully it won't get bad, but if it does, there's going to be a time when the Christian church, after it's purified, will be able to preach the gospel, and there may very well be a revival of sort in America. It may very well happen.
I hope so. I hope so. And you know, I feel so concerned about all of these young people that are part of Antifa, and the because they're lost. And you, and if they die in the streets, there's no hope for them.
That's right.
And I'm also concerned for the black people that are being led astray by the left and used and exploited. And I my heart hurts for them. And I'm concerned for souls. I'm concerned for their eternal souls.
You should be.
Because this is not going to end well for them. It's not going to.
No, it's not. It's the enemy. And this is what Jesus talks about. In the last days, it could be wars, of rumors of wars. People will be lovers of self.
Yeah.
They'll be arrogant, insolent, rebellious. This is what we're seeing. And it's happening more and more. And, you know, the blacks are being persecuted. The whites are being persecuted. The blacks are prejudiced. The whites
are
prejudiced. Everybody. Everybody's sinners. And because...
Get this.
I live in Boise, Idaho area. We are being flooded from California and Washington by people. They are leaving these leftist states that are coming here.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can water the ground and a new apartment complex is being built. They're building stuff in land that's been vacant for years, and houses are just going up. And at church, it was said that a guy who's in real estate said in July, he sold more houses in July alone than 2 years previous combined.
Wow.
They're fleeing the leftist wacko socialist jerk face morons, you know, raising taxes. They should have. You know.
And you're not saying that in love.
No, I'm not. You know, there's what's called imprecatory.
You did it.
There's imprecatory psalms, and the imprecatory psalms is where the righteous say to God, God, go get the wicked, go punish the wicked, you know, beat them, destroy them, so that their wickedness does not spread. And we should be praying that, but we should also be praying, yet, Lord, save them and use me to do that if possible.
Yes. That's my prayer. That is my prayer, that God would save them. I pray for a revival. Mm-hmm. I pray for an awakening. That our pastors will wake up and get a backbone on this stuff.
Oh, you're so good. Oh, I like you. We should be neighbors.
They need to get...
Call back tomorrow. Call back tomorrow. We got a break. Call back tomorrow. Okay. Talk about a video on Netflix, The United States in Biblical Prophecy. Go check it out, folks. Oh, we got to go, though. Okay. God bless. Call back.
All right.
Okay, Glenda.
Thank you. God bless you. Okay.
You too.
All right. Bye.
All right. Sorry, Jan from Virginia and Dan from North Carolina. Please call back tomorrow, okay? Hey, everybody. Have a great evening. God bless. Bye.